World's on fire. Our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Well, I put on my war uniform today, and man, oh man, I got to get the Holy Spirit to calm down. I got about 15 different directions I want to go this morning. Got a lot to try to share with you, and they're connected, yet they're not all connected. And I've invited John Diamond to be with us today, but I've told John, you may have to sit tight here, brother, till I get out of me what's in me, and try to awaken us again to exactly what's going on. I got, oh my goodness, my good. I got a lot of good stuff. And Ted Whelan was great yesterday. I'm going to talk about that a second. But the most important thing, hey, Bob Evans is having a rally this weekend. Folks, we have an Ohio Salt and Light Brigade huddle. Let me get that in before I forget it. Bob, can you come in here a little bit? Can you give us any details or anything? Anybody needs to bring anything or anything like that, Bob?
Oh, yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, buddy, we got you good.
Okay. Yeah, we got getting the yard mowed up, everything, trying to, wet.
It's worth anyway. A trip just to see Bob's house, by the way, his homemade log cabin. It's worth a trip just for that. What time does it kick off and everything, Bob?
It's Saturday, about 10 o'clock. We have the bee lady, bees and trees, and in the afternoon, we're having Confederate reenactors coming in. They're going to be talking about the flags. Different flags, battle flags, just maybe never seen before.
Wow.
And stories about them. And we'll have some target practice too. So, yeah.
So Bob, does it start Friday night or Saturday morning, bud?
Meet and greet Friday. Friday night, meet and greet. If you come Saturday, it's okay too. If you don't.
All right, folks, listen, if you can make it, man, Lisbon, it's up a little bit south of Youngstown, Ohio. So love to see as many of as you can there. And Tammy is out of her wheelchair and everything after she broke her leg. So praise the Lord on that one, Bob. Looking forward to being up there this weekend. Michelle and I both are excited about it. Folks, listen, I have to, John, hang in there with me yesterday because I was really, I don't know about you guys. I really enjoyed Ted yesterday. And I was really, really proud of our audience because I tell you what, one of the things that we've talked about so much is we can't believe stuff just because they told us that, right? Just because they told us, just because your pastor stands up there and tells you Jesus loves everybody. And I said, hey, you can believe it if you want. I like to trust but verify. And, you know, everything Ted, not everything, we all disagree, right? But Ted Whelan, in my opinion, was right on. In the mess we're in, because we did, in fact, whether we meant to or not, we made the Declaration of Independence a secular document. It's what we did. We secularized it. All the states up to that point had been they'd had Christian documents. And then we brought the 13 colonies together. They secularized it. In other words, it was a battle over religion. Each colony had their own religion. Rhode Island was Baptist, I think. Massachusetts was Church of England. Virginia was Church of England. They had different denominations. And so when they said separation between church, they were talking about Christian denominations. Now, whether they left Jesus out of it or not, they did. All right. And that's, as Ted was trying to point out, that's what we're dealing with today, trying to figure out exactly what the heck's going on here. So I want to dive into some stuff here. And some of this may seem a bit selfish, but I don't care, because I want some of you to know this ain't my first rodeo. All right. It's in my first rodeo. And the most profound question of the day was asked yesterday in the after show. I don't know how many of you were in the after show, but Roger Weaver asked the most profound question of all. And that was, what are we going to do? I'm just going to let that lay there. Hey, folks, if you don't think that the hacking of the fuel line system wasn't designed, I don't know what to tell you. If you don't understand all they've tried to do to isolate us, to keep us at home, to keep us from getting together, and now all of a sudden we don't have any gas, we're not going to be able to get around. This is what happens if the power grid goes down next, huh? Oh, that's why I got my war suit on, a conspiracy suit on this morning. Because I want to talk. I got John in here. By the way, John and I are going to be on WChristianNews.tv covering for Mike Heath today, who's sick in bed. John and I are going to be raising some cane at 3 o'clock today if you guys want to join in on that. There it is. Thank you. It's up there. John and I are going to be, we're going to be sitting in that seat today giving them some truth. So you want to tune into that. Can you all bear with me a second? Can I do a little bit of self-promotion? Because I want you to know something, folks. This Tony Spell, click on that for me, Spencer. This is a big deal. This is a big deal, folks. You don't have to play the video if you don't want to. Louisiana evangelical pastor loses again in court to end virus restrictions. Pastor Tony Spell, we had him on the show, got arrested for having church. We saw the guy got arrested in Canada for having church. Folks, being arrested for having church, let that sink in. Can't happen here. Can't happen here. Hey, that can't happen here. Being arrested. So I'm not a blowhard. Some of you think I am, but I'm not a blowhard. And I bring some bona fides to the table here. That's why I'm in my war suit today. I'm going to show you something. Hey, folks, we are canceling the event, our annual event here in Ohio, and we are going to Louisiana. And as many of you who can make it to Louisiana on June, Sunday is the 6th. The event will be the 7th and the 8th. That would be Monday, Tuesday, and you can leave out on Wednesday. As many of you who can arrange for your schedule to be there, this is an all hands on deck call, okay? All hands on deck. If you can't make it, okay. Pastor Dale's working even right now. Yeah, Joe, if we have gas. Pastor Dale's working even right. Folks, do you understand what Joseph Allen just said? If we have gas. What if we can't travel? What if we can't get around? Is that part of it? They mask us up, huh? They made us social distance. They told us we couldn't gather in our churches. Now we don't have gas to be able to get around. Would somebody out there wake up? Somebody out there wake up. I'm awake. So I want to show you something. I don't know how much. I'm going to take you down some memory lane here. Some of you don't know this. I showed this yesterday. Go to Judge Moore. Folks, like I said, this ain't my first rodeo. In 2003, we helped organize a rally. Well, that's not true. That was my first rally ever. Was in Montgomery, Alabama. Chief Justice Roy Moore. Just play 30 seconds of this. This was the first crowd. Hey, folks, 2003, this battle was over taking the Ten Commandments out of the courtroom. 2003. And we got a righteous man to stand up and push back against it. And here we are, dare I say it, 18 years later. By the way, 16 years later, Judge Moore tried to run for U.S. Senate, and they came in and they dogged him, they lied about him, they did everything they could, and of course, Christians believed it. And Judge Roy Moore was drugged through the mud, his reputation tarnished, when he is one of the only righteous men in my lifetime in American government that stood up against the forces of darkness. The deep state. Judge Moore was fighting the deep state before there was a deep state, before we even knew it. And the media comes on and they tell stories about him. Oh, he screwed this woman. He did this to this woman. And oh, he showed his penis to this woman. Lies, lies, lies. And law. Now, wait a minute. Maybe he lost because of the elections were rigged. We don't know, right? We don't know. But I want you to know, I'm taking you down. I'm putting out a clarion call, folks. We need you. Just play about a minute of this, if you will. James Dobson was there. All the bigwigs were there. Judge Roy Moore standing up for the Ten Commandments. They called him the Ten Commandment Judge. And we think it glorified the Lord that Judge Moore lost. See, Judge Moore lost because a lot of people, listen to me, a lot of people in the church thought he was breaking the law. Somebody say amen. The church thought he was breaking the law because he wouldn't take the Ten Commandments out. Churches thought he was breaking the law. They wouldn't support him. Go ahead, play it. We need it again. We need it again. That's Judge Moore. We were there. We were there. And I'm going to show you another one. Hey, you guys remember Terry Schiavo? Remember when they were going to starve that handicapped woman to death down in Pinellas County, Florida? Back in 2004. You can pull Judge Moore down. Bring up Terry Schiavo. We went down there. I slept outside of the Woodside Hospice 7 nights. Me and some of my buddies saying they're gonna leave it right there at the 541 mark, saying they're gonna starve a handicapped woman to death. They're gonna starve her to death. We went down there and we protested. They didn't just unplug her. They pulled out her feeding tube, starved her to death. The beginning of what? Euthanasia. Euthanasia. I showed up down there. My mom, God rest her soul, bought me an airline. I didn't have a job. My mom bought me an airline ticket, and I flew down to Pensacola, Florida, Woodside Hospice, and went to jail for trying to take water to a handicapped woman. And everybody said, he's just trying to grab the headlines. He's just a headline grabber. No, no, no. Hey, my ass went to jail. It wasn't yours. I went down and said, listen, if you start doing this, they're going to put, hey, if we don't stop this, we told them at that time, we don't stop them from starving this handicapped woman to death, old men will be next. Old women will be next. Anybody know what happened during this pandemic? You know who died in the midst of all this? Why? Old men and old women. Social Security. Let's get them off of Social Security. Killed off millions of them. I don't know, hundreds of thousands of them. And we warned them back in 2004, I think it was. It's going to happen. If we let them starve this handicapped woman to death, it's going to happen over and over and over and over and over. Go ahead and play about a minute. Hey, I was there. Go ahead.
PVS, not in a coma, does respond, is alert, and actually has even the ability to communicate.
With each side entrenched, arguments turn to threats.
It's no fun getting up in the morning and looking under your car before you start the engine to see if there's a device, because you've had people contact you saying that they're going to blow you to bits if you keep working on this case.
My house is invaded day in and day out, and these are people pushing their views on me. And I don't understand that. You have your view on things and you have your beliefs on, that's great, but don't stand outside somebody else's house.
Let's die!
And push that on them.
And the more the fight played out in public, the more political it became.
Who's going to look out for this girl's rights? We have to.
In 2003, Florida legislators passed...
Spencer, go back real quickly to the 3 minute and 50 second mark. Right there. That's good. Right
there. A lot of the motives were that drove those who rallied to the side of Terry's parents.
To deliberately starve her to death is an act of cruelty, and ultimately it's murder itself.
Terry touched a nerve with so many people because they saw a family that was willing and wanting to care for her. They didn't understand why they weren't being allowed to do that.
On both sides,
let Terry live.
Emotions ran high.
No one would want to live this way.
20 times in court, 20 times.
This is the Roe versus Wade of euthanasia.
I used to say, what are these people doing? Why,
okay,
Terry?
I'm trying to show you, showing up makes a difference. Did we win the Terry Schiavo battle? No, we didn't win it. No, they killed her. They killed her, right? Because we didn't do anything afterwards, right? We did. You know what the church said? Oh, yeah, the church had a great answer to murder. The church said, make sure you get a living will. Make sure they get a living will. The church didn't stand up and say, you can't starve somebody to death. You wouldn't do it to a dog. No, church didn't stand up for that. No. Trying to warn people. People laugh at us. Oh, yeah. Say, it's coming. It's coming down like a freight train. Coming like a freight train. They're trying to get rid of Christianity. Tried to throw the Ten Commandments out. Now they're starving a woman to death. And then what happens next? Oh, yeah. We know what happens next, right? Huh? Oh, yeah. How about that homo marriage stuff? How about that homo marriage? Do we have that one? Do I have that one? Oh, I don't know. Ooh, we know about it, don't we? Huh? Let's go to Kim Davis. Pull that one up there. Oh, yeah. Hold that right there. I don't know if you guys know this. When the Kim Davis battle was going on, the homosexual marriage battle, and Kim Davis in Kentucky said that she wasn't going to marry him, we showed up outside the courtroom. And you're going to see a crowd here of about 20,000 people. And some of us got together and we went on the streets and we handed out flyers saying, show up at the rally. 20,000 people showed up. Mike Huckabee shows up. Oh, they come all jump in here, right? They all come and get their faces in there. Ted Cruz shows up. They all show up. But those 20,000 people were there because we stirred the pot. We had people come down there. We handed out flyers. We raised people up. Said, we got to turn back. No, stand with Kim. Till what? Till the politicians got involved. And then the politicians got involved. Said, oh, you better back off of it a little bit, coach. Better back off. And what did Kim Davis? She fought the wrong fight. Why? Because that's what the lawyers told her to do. Play this. I just want you to know not only were we there, we organized this rally in support of Kim. We did it. I ain't lying. Just telling you. Go ahead.
But I thought before we left today, maybe
by the way,
you
freezes.
Would like to personally.
This is the most amazing thing. We got 20,000 people. Yes, 20,000 people. More trying to get there. Well, Mike Huckabee is talking because of the pressure. We went on to Judge David Bunning's house, federal judge, and we protested outside of his house. And that was on Friday, and we showed up at the rally at the courthouse, at the jail, the next day.
Personally express
they opened up the door and Kim Davis came walking out of the jail because we showed up at the judge's house. Go ahead.
Who had the courage to cause a lot of people to start standing up. A person whose courage exceeds that of 99.9% of the politicians of this country, and sadly that exceeds a bunch of even the pastors of this country. But I believe that her act is going to wake up the politicians, the pastors,
oh,
and
yeah,
the
it
people.
Sure did.
Would you
yeah,
please
sure
help
did.
Me welcome to the stage, Kim Davis.
They walked Paul's out a second. Folks, they walked her right out of the jail cell onto the stage. Do you know why they did that? Because there was so much momentum building that they said, we need to have a pressure valve. Let's let her out. Maybe they'll all go away. And we did. We all went away. Go ahead. Play it. And it wasn't 3 weeks later, you can turn that off. It wasn't 3 weeks later, they were marrying homos in Kentucky. We have no staying power. Am I doing okay? I don't need your approval. I got to get this off my chest. And then, oh my goodness. Where is it? Target, pull up Target. I found out this is, I don't know, how many years ago was it? Found out our local, found out Target was having tranny bathrooms. How many of you guys knew this? How many of you know that we did this? We're not just some fly-by-night thing. I found out they were having tranny bathrooms in Target. I couldn't believe it. I called Jeff Klein and Ricky. You'll see Ricky Miller standing in this picture filming. And I went into Target with my daughter, a 23-year-old daughter, and put her in the bathroom, stood out there holding a sign. The sign said, caution, men may be in women's restrooms. And the manager comes. And as a result of this little move here, 2 minute and 51 second video, Target has now lost about $20 billion. A billion with a B in stock value. But what? Hey, marry him anyway. Nobody. So Roger Weaver asked the question, what are we going to do? Go ahead and play this. This video went viral. Hey, how you doing?
Good. I'm going to have to ask you to not have this sign here.
What's your name?
I'm Aaron.
Hey, Aaron. My name's Dave Dobmeyer. My daughter's in the restroom. I'm just kind of guarding it right now because I was in yesterday, and they told us that a man could, in fact, walk in on her while she's in that restroom. And I don't think that, first of all, I don't even think that's legal for Target to have that rule. And I'm not gonna let my daughter be in danger. So I'm going to stand here and let people know. I noticed on the door that there's no warning. There's no warning on the restroom door.
Can I have you come up to the front, please?
There's no warning on the restroom door that there's no warning. There's no warning that a man could walk in that restroom. There's no warning at all. And so I just feel that I have a moral obligation to warn women. That's what my sign says, that a woman could be in danger in the restroom if a man comes walking.
Unfortunately, we're going to have to ask you to not have that sign and stand here.
Okay.
Or you'll have to leave the building.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah, I understand.
Authorities involved or...
Pardon me?
I said I can get authorities involved. Yeah,
I believe you're violating the law.
Isn't our store policy. This is something you talked to headquarters about.
Okay, I've talked to headquarters about it.
Okay.
And yesterday I was here as well, and they said that a man can walk in and use the restroom, a woman's restroom.
Can I have all of you put your cameras down? This is very.
Sorry, I'm in an uncomfortable
position. It's not your fault. It's not your fault. You're trying to do your job. I'm here trying to do my job to protect my daughter, to protect women.
Gianna's coming.
Protect
Gianna, can I have you up here right now, please?
She's okay. I spoke to Gianna yesterday.
Okay. She's going to ask you the same thing.
I know she is. I noticed again that everywhere I looked, what was your name again? I'm sorry.
Aaron.
Aaron, everywhere I looked, there's no warning at all that a man could walk into a woman's restroom. And I think it's awful.
Okay, you can stop. And it goes on and on and on. But let me ask you something, folks. Who won this war? Can men walk into women's bathrooms today? Who won this war? Why don't we ever get mad that we lose? Roger's the one that asked the question. I'm just asking you, what are we supposed to do? Because you know what? Nobody will use the V word, will they? Nobody will use that V word. Oh, no, no, don't want to use that one. They're pushing us, folks. They're pushing us for a reason. They're pushing us. Hey, play Flip Benham. Bear with me, John. I'm going to get you in there. It says Flip Benham. Here's a man of God. This is Flip Benham at his local city council. How can we? You would think that at our local city councils, Jim Harrison goes, praise the Lord, Jim Harrison goes. You think the line would be clear out the door if pastor's standing up and pushing back. Here's a real man of God, Flip Benham, before the Charlotte, North Carolina. They're going to pass an LGBTQRS bill and Flip Benham shows up. Sometimes you just got to show up. And you got to give them warning. Sometimes you just got to speak the word of God. This is what Flip did. Go ahead.
Next, Mr. Flip Benham. Mr. Flip Benham, welcome.
Thank you. Here's a word. It's a good word. The best word you're going to hear because it comes right from the word of God. See how the faithful city has become a harlot. She was once full of justice and righteousness and used to dwell in her. But now, murderers, your silver has become dross, your choice wine diluted with water. Your rulers are rebels, companions of thieves. They all love bribes and chase after gifts. They do not defend the cause of the fatherless. The widow's case does not come before them. Therefore, the Lord Almighty has spoken to you on July 25th these very words that if you continue this rebellion against Almighty God, blood is going to course down the corridors of our schools, our workplaces, and our streets. You need to turn back to Him. It is you that unleashed hell in our city when you tried to say that boys and girls are not that. You did it. Now repent, Jennifer Roberts, in the name of Jesus Christ. Because if He doesn't fix us, there's no National Guard, no Department of Justice that can fix us. Because there is not an army big enough to make a man do what is right. But there is a king named Jesus that if he gets in the heart of that young man, he will set him free. And instead of laying everybody else's life down, he will lay his life down for others. That is the truth.
Not very loving, huh? No friendship evangelism with. Hang on with me. I'll get you in here. I'm just trying to wake you up here this morning. Hey, Spencer, pull up the declaration. I just fired that one at you on a separate email, brother. Hey, scroll down there. Hey, folks, I was reading this morning just before I stop right there, Spencer. Make it larger. Just before I was coming down here, we know about we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal and endowed by their creator. Okay, now look. Did you know this? Huh? Did you? I'm looking right now. The history of the present king of Great Britain, the history of repeated injuries and usurpations, all having a direct object, the establishment of an absolute tyranny over these states. This is what these guys said in 1776. And then they listed them. He's refused his assent to laws, the most wholesome and necessary for public good. He's forbidden his governors to pass laws. He's refused to pass other laws for the accommodation of large districts of people. He's called together legislative bodies at places unusual and uncomfortable. He's dissolved representative houses repeatedly. He's refused for a long time such dissolutions to cause others to be elected. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states for that purpose, obstructing the laws. He's obstructed the administration of justice. He's made judges dependent on his will alone. He's erected a multitude of new offices. He has kept among us in times of peace standing armies without our consent. He's affected to render the military independent superior. He has combined with others to subject us to jurisdictional foreign to our Constitution for quartering large bodies of armed troops, for protecting them by mock trials, for cutting off our trade, for imposing taxes on us, for depriving us of... Hey, folks, what's the difference? What's the difference? He's down there. What does it say? Pretended legislation. Keep scrolling down there. Huh? Yeah, pretended legislation. Wow. In every stage of these oppressions, we have petitioned for redress in the most humble terms. Our repeated petitions have been answered only by repeated injury. A prince whose character is thus marked by every act which defy a tyrant is unfit to be ruler of a free people. Are we there yet, Randy? Are we there yet, Larry? Clay, are we there yet? Rogers wanted to ask the question. What are we going to do? Huh? Now they're cutting off our oil. Soon they'll cut off our power. Soon they'll cut off the internet. Say, oh, coach, you're a conspiracy fear. No, you're a fool. You're a fool if you can't see what's going on. What are we supposed to do? Obey, obey. Romans 13, obey. Pray for the rapture. Really? Really? Can I do one more? Dude, the courts cannot make laws. Michael Perutka. This is awesome. I'm not going to play the whole thing. Hey, folks, I'm just trying to show you a little bit of history into what things we've done. I'm not just a blowhard talker. We need some of you in New Orleans. Folks, it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. You know what's going to happen? The judges in New Orleans are going to rule, you mark my word, they're going to rule that the government can close the church. You mark my mind. Are we going to let that happen? Are we going to let that happen? Or are we going to wait till it's over and say, oh, well, Jesus is coming. We win in the end. We win in the end. We win in the end, boys and girls. Don't get mad, coach. Just pray for him, coach. Just pray for him. We win in the end. Bunch of cowards. Courts cannot make law. Michael Perutka made this video. Go ahead and play it real quickly.
There's a battle going on, a war for your soul. It's a devil's deal, it's mind control. They want you to believe that you have...
Whoa! I don't know what happened. We'll get her gone here. Hang on, Spence, we'll get her gone. Try that again. I'm sorry.
A war for your soul, it's a devil's deal. It's mind control. They want you to believe that you have no hope. They're counting on the fact that you are a dope. Well, they tell you the rules, tell you what to eat. They know that you won't...
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what's going on. I'll put it in the chat. They can watch it. Courts cannot make laws. Courts cannot make laws. That's Michael Perutka's song. Courts cannot make law. Hey, listen, neither can mayors, neither can health department officials. They cannot make laws. How long are we going to let them? Do we need to go back to the Declaration of Independence and read about they have remonstrated? They have appealed? Courts cannot make law. Boy, I wish we could get this up and running again. I want to hear it. See if we can.
Oh, that you don't read. We've lived a lie for way too long. It's time to know right from wrong. No matter what they told you all, courts and judges cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. Courts cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law. Congress makes the laws and the courts make none. That's in the Constitution, it's in Article 1. Look it up, read the words, use your own two eyes. Know it well, mark the spot, have it memorized. Tell your children, tell your mama, tell your family. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors if you wanna be free. You won't learn the truth in government schools. It's up to you to know the rules. No matter what they told you all, courts and judges cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law. Courts cannot
make law. Okay, you can stop
law.
It. Put it in the chat. Courts cannot make law. The health department cannot close down Tony Spell's church. Do you guys get it? The health department, the city manager, cannot close down Knucklehead's ice cream stand. Do you understand that yet? The county health department cannot make your children wear masks to school. Do you understand that yet? Huh? Do you understand that the courts can, I'm sorry, that government edicts, governor's orders, health department orders cannot make you close down your business. Do you understand that yet? All right. I'm going to open it up. Hey, folks, Roger asked a question. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Go ahead, Clay.
There's a lot of people that said they ought to feed that woman.
I was one of them. I said, don't starve her. Don't starve her to death.
That's it. But
hey, listen.
Most people didn't go, Coach.
Do you understand this, folks? Do you understand that Terri Schiavo was not on a heart monitor? She had no breathing apparatus. She had nothing going on. And so how did they kill Terri Schiavo? Do you guys know how they killed her? They removed her feeding tube. They starved her to death. They starved her to death. You wouldn't do that to a dog. They'd throw you in jail if you did it to a dog. Court order. Go ahead, Jack.
Hey, Coach, I just wanted to say that I talked to somebody yesterday down in Mobile, Alabama, a relative. They live 2.5 hours from New Orleans. They go to church when the doors are open or when it doesn't interfere with their Mardi Gras. And Tony Spell come into the conversation. I brought him into the conversation, and this churchgoer don't even know who Tony Spell is.
Yeah, so they don't care.
If we don't go help, they're not going to go help.
If he'd have just followed the orders, he wouldn't be in jail. If that pastor in Canada, Pastor Arter, if he'd have just followed the law, hey, folks, I don't know why we can't get this. I don't know why we can't see it. Church. Come on, Jack. George, you're using George's phone, Jack. We can't hear you. Larry, come on in.
Yeah, this LA, going to Louisiana at the beginning of June. I've arranged things where anytime during June I can leave Gail for a few days and it'll be all right. So I will be there. Now, if there is opportunity that either for our group or for whole bunch of people to be able to eat cheaper, I will be glad to bring my food trailer and just prepare very simple food for the group that's there.
Oh, my God. Thank you, Larry. We're still working, making the detail. I forgot that one. Kent Hovland, Dr. Dino. I got to tell you that story. Somebody make me tell you that story tomorrow. We got Dr. Dino out of jail. What? Yeah, I'm telling you, we got Kent Hovland out of jail. That's another whole story, baby. Another whole story. Jack, can you get in yet? So you make sense? No. Dale,
Hey, can I finish, please?
Is that any better?
I'm sorry.
I just made the comment about the Louisiana thing. If I can be of service there, I'll be glad to. Then the other thing is I want to try to answer, at least in part, Roger's question. What can we do now? What are we supposed to do now? Well, I can't tell you in detail the things you have to do, but I can tell you what you cannot do and expect any type of victory. And that's keep on doing the same damn thing we've been doing for decades. We can't keep sitting here expecting somebody else to do the heavy lifting, somebody else to go to jail. I went to jail over Target. We can't expect other people to do it and expect to get any victory.
Because as Mike, folks, I want you to go back, play this video again, because I want all of you to see this, okay? I want you to see, folks, Michael Perutka started at the beginning, if you can, Spencer. Michael Perutka wants you to see that those who make the laws and the attorneys and the judges are all in it together. They're all dancing together. Watch this video again. They're all dancing together.
There's a battle going on, a war for your soul. It's a devil's deal, it's mind control. They want you to believe that you have no hope. They're counting on the fact that you are a dope. Well, they tell you the rules, tell you what to eat. They know that you won't question, they know that you don't read. We've lived a lie for way too long. It's time to know right from wrong. No matter what they told you all, judges cannot make law. The case law method has a fatal flaw, because courts cannot make law.
Come on in, Dale. Come on in, Dale, then Randy.
Amen, brother. I'll keep it short. Let's talk definitely crossing T's, dots and I's, but here's the deal. We're not expected to feed to 5,000, but we are expected to show up with the loaves of bread and the fish that God might then show up to feed the 5,000.
Amen, brother. Amen. Amen. Hey, sometimes you just got to show up and let God show. Hey, are you ready? Okay. Thank you, Lord. See, 20 years from now, if I'm still around here, I remember asking my mom when I was a kid, I said, Mom, where was the church when they took the Bible out of schools? Hey, Mom, where was the church when they took prayer out of schools, 1961, 1963? And she just kind of looked at me because she knew that the church was missing in action. And here's a promise I made to my grandchildren. When they lay me in my casket and they say, where was Grandpa when they were destroying marriage? I want my kids to say, in front of the daggone Supreme Court. That's where he was. He was in front of Target. That's where he was. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, I believe this. I believe our heart should say, what is God doing? What I want to be on his side. I want to be part of what he's doing.
What is Coach, he doing?
This
Randy?
Is a Joshua moment. This is a Josh. I see the captain of the host standing with his sword drawn, Coach, and I'm saying, I'm on his side. That's what he said to Joshua. You better choose right now whose side you're on, because I'm got something I'm going to do. This is what God's saying, Coach, to everybody that doesn't go to New Orleans and stand up with me, because I'm going to do something. I don't know exactly what it's looked like, Coach. I don't care. I'm going to go obey the Lord. I'm going to be on the Lord's side. This is what I have to say.
Hey, folks, thank you, Randy. Listen, hey, folks, come on, listen. You're grown-ups. John Diamond, I promise I'm going to get you in here. Folks, remember they told us the homosexuals, they just wanted to live their life. They just wanted to live in privacy. And then they told us, well, they just didn't want to be discriminated at work. And then they wanted to be married. Oh, and then they wanted to have homosexuality taught in the schools. Oh, and then they want transgenders to be. Do you understand the slippery slope? Do you understand the mess that we are in because we haven't gone to war? Not really. We haven't really gone to war. And they're still doing it to us today. Forcing us. They still won't left a mask mandate. all the evidence out there. Can I tell you why? Because they're all dancing together in the courtroom, aren't they? Those guys are all dancing in, together in the courtroom, laughing at us. They're laughing. Hey, folks, because there's something far more sinister at work here. And I'm going to tell you this. Some of the elected officials are just fools. They're just fools. But some of them, they're more than just fools. They're more than just fools. I know John Diamond's got something he wants to say. Come on in, John. I asked him to come on, and then he didn't talk.
No, Coach, go ahead and continue with what you're doing. This is a good theme that we're on today. I won't be able to do what I got to do in an 8-minute soundbite anyway. Okay, enjoying this. Keep going.
We'll get you in here tomorrow, John.
Not a problem.
So back in 2003, when I showed up, I hate to use the word I, okay? When we showed up down in Montgomery, Alabama, we tried to warn them, hey, folks, open your eyes! 2003, they removed the Ten Commandments. Remove the Ten Commandments. My friends, they removed the Ten Commandments on a court order. Courts can not make law. Courts can not make law. Look what happened. Look what's happened to our morality since Judge Roy Moore stood up against that court order, which they had no, he lost it. You know, they removed him as Supreme Court Justice. They removed him. He was Chief Justice, and they removed him for doing what? For standing up for the Ten Commandments. And isn't it amazing? When we were on the steps down there in Montgomery, Alabama, at the State House, across the street was this huge, huge Presbyterian church. And it was hot. I had to pee. We needed drinks of water. And that Presbyterian church would not let us inside, because Judge Moore was a lawbreaker. Hey, folks, what are we going to do? We've remonstrated. We've appealed. What are we going to do? Roger asked a question, not me. Silent crew, somebody jump in here. Somebody, now's your chance. See, we don't want to go here, do we? We don't want to go here. We don't want to go here. Is Mark Trump in here? Mark in here this morning?
I'm here, Coach.
I know you're always there, Mark. Hey, Mark, just take a minute. Just take 2 or 3 minutes here, Mark, and talk about how you're not so sure that all this stuff isn't planned. Mark and I had a great conversation yesterday. Go ahead, Mark. Cyber attacks.
Well, this is the nature of history. Is in the beginnings, what was the value of a nation? It was its ability to produce goods. So what was the infrastructure that let them get money? It was the roadways, the Roman roadways. The biggest engineering feat was to trade goods to make countries wealthy, to make kings wealthy, to have more control and dominance over the people. And then came the oil age. So instead of trading goods, what was being traded all through the oil age? The value of nations is based on oil.
The ability to travel using oil.
Yeah, travel, airplanes. So oil has been the commodity that has made nations strong. The dollar is based on oil. So what's the infrastructure for oil? How does it move? Ships, trains, pipelines. That's the infrastructure to move money in the oil generation. The new generation beyond oil, which determines the value of nations, is data. So each of these cases, the raw materials of a nation is used to trade. You know, evil emperors use their people to make things, to mine ore, to trade. All the fights over oil, to trade, to make money, to make countries strong. Now it's data.
But hang on, let me stop you a second, Mark. Because if they shut off oil, yep, they control the people, don't they, Mark?
Well, it's isolation. If you shut off oil, you won't drive as much, you won't fly as much, you're contained, right? So products
can't get delivered to markets.
Mind control. Companies don't have what they need to build, prices go up and all that. But as we move into data, they're identifying our behavior so they can market to us, right? We all know this. So what becomes the raw material when it comes to data? It's human behavior. So you become the raw material that these nations are trading. The data about you, the data about your habits, company's data as well. Company is an entity just like you. So basically, it's the data that's making companies strong and countries strong. Google is now paired with China to build a data empire, right? Amazon's going along with Google. You got all these pair-ups, just like in the oil and OPEC and oil generations. So what's happened to the price of oil if no one's using it, right? If no one's flying around, that means the price of oil goes down because there's no demand. But why is oil going up? Why is oil going up? And there's one pipeline that closes, and we got other pipelines bringing oil and gas everywhere. The point is who controls them? And is there a false shortage of lumber? Is there a false shortage of oil in these things? Cyber attacks are going to continue to happen and get worse. But just like COVID, the flu was used by the media, and look at us. Now we're vaccinating ourselves because of a stupid false news story, you know? So I'm looking at infrastructure, looking at the commodity that make countries strong, and we're moving from oil into a renewables generation. Oil is taking it in the seat from renewables, nuclear, COVID. Why is oil going up? They should be selling it left and right.
Okay, so folks, I want you to think about this. Stay with me a second here. Hey, friends, they're giving away free money. You know that, right? People aren't working. McDonald's is now offering $15 for somebody to come and flip hamburgers. Folks, these signs are all around. Just drive around and look. This is going on. Now, listen, I want you to think about this. In the midst of this entire process that's going on, this lockdown, they're keeping people happy by giving them free money. You understand? We're not rebelling because we're getting free money. And just like a mouse trap, they are slowly closing that trap around us as we sit at home laughing because we don't have to work because they're sending us free money. Then the money's going to be gone. Didn't mean to cut you off, Mark. Come on in, Brett.
Hey, Mark Trump, I appreciate your wisdom. It's so much bigger than me. I'm just a strong safety that likes to hit. And, Coach, I would disagree with you on the mousetrap. They're inching us closer to the mousetrap.
Yeah.
But every single mousetrap I ever seen, it snaps so fast, it goes halfway through the mouse's head. So, Jesus willing, God willing, the Lord willing, I have a team that we're forming in Central Ohio to be down there in New Orleans with everybody. Amen. And then also, Coach, I shared with you as well. The college kids that's like evil is like secretly saying 100 colleges are going to force these experimental shots on all students, or they'll be banned from coming back to college campuses.
Hey, listen, friends, listen. So a cyber attack took down the oil. Will cyber attack take down the internet? Will cyber attack take down Verizon? Will cyber attack take down T-Mobile? You see how this works? You see how this works, folks?
And, Coach, I just want to finish on the college. We're going to occupy. I'm working a plan right now that I have people in representation. If you have a student who's in college or a daughter or a son or a grandchild or a friend, private message me. We're rallying now with a 5-step game plan. We're not waiting till August. We're doing it now.
Got to do it now. We got to do it before they clamp down. Before they – folks, Silver, come on in, then Joseph Allen.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the war.
Welcome to the war.
But guess what, Coach? We do not have a declaration of war. We're playing the as-needed war games that we've been doing since World War II. World War II was declared. Everything else since has just been an act.
Well, hey, Joe, we do know this, though. Our government ain't going to declare war on itself, are they?
I ain't talking about the government, Coach.
I know you're not. I know you're not.
I'm talking about the people.
I'm getting people to understand it. If we're waiting for the government to declare war, you're missing the whole boat, which is Joe's point. We have no government. We have none. Joe Allen, come on in.
Yesterday, Coach, I went to a local supply for my gardening. One tomato plant cost $4.50. Used to cost a dollar or so. And there's other pipelines up north. And our season, a cold season, hasn't ended yet. You better get prepared.
Amen, baby. Amen. Amen. Come on in, Jeff. Jeff Klein. And Jeff now.
Coach, you're talking about showing up. I'm telling you, the difference is making in Riverside Hospital with everybody. It is unbelievable the amount of people that know Ricky Miller's name in the hospital. Fourth floor and fifth floor, ICU. People are coming in and seeing a miracle. They're amazed. The doctors and nurses. Yesterday, we're with him for 3 hours. We let him listen to Pastor Bill's message from April 18th on the warrior and the POW and just what Ricky's going through. This nurse was in the room for about, 10, 15 minutes doing her little hookups, and this, she's listening. I heard her at one time say, amen. I told him last night in the garage, just because people say amen, lots of times we think, they're a Christian. He said, amen. She got done, and she walked out of the room, and she looked at us, and she was he was preaching on the doctor showing up and the Lord God saying, I am that I am. And in that message, he said, you want that doctor to stand up and raise his hand and say, who's the doctor in the house? I am. And we looked at her and he said, the sentence next was, or you have a nurse or a doctor helping you. And I looked at her and I said, say, I am. And she goes, I am. She walked out of there. We talked to her later. I got home last night. Vicky sends me a text. This is incredible. It says, just talked to Rick. He said, Hannah, his nurse, we talked to, who was listening to Pastor Bill's sermon, was asking him, how do we become Christians? Wow. She's going back to his room and talk to him when her shift is over or tomorrow. She wants to know. Vicky went out and said, she's sending them little cookies that are individually wrapped, whatever that special cookie is you can buy. She's buying 100 cookies and sending to both floors for all the nurses and doctors. Cookies. They're going to love Ricky Miller.
Ricky will know they used his illness for that. Unbelievable. Hey, real quickly, I'm running short on time. Pull up magnets for me, Spencer. It's the very last thing I sent you. Magnets. While he's in there, Jeff Nell, come on in.
I'm going to say, I went grocery shopping yesterday, and my food bill up went up $121
for the same items. Just starting, brother. Just starting. Hey, folks, are you ready for this? Huh? Watch this. COVID vaccines causes magnets to stick to arms. Watch this.
I have 4 videos that have popped up on my social media feed of people putting magnets up to where they're...
Yeah, he's going to try to slow it down there for us a little bit. There you go. Magnets sticking on people's arms after they've had the vaccination.
I have 4 videos that have popped up on my social media feed of people putting magnets up to where their vaccine was administered. And amazingly enough, the magnet stays in place. Are these hoaxes? I don't know. We're on 4 videos now of people demonstrating the same phenomenon. What do you think about it? Let me know if you've seen any more of these videos or if this has happened to you. Send me an email, timtruth@protonmail.com. Check this out.
So come on, let's say it.
I didn't believe it.
You didn't believe me. That they are implanting you with microchips.
It's magnet. Not a fucking microchip.
Fucking
it's not a
magnet. Go.
Okay, here's a magnet. This is the arm I've got. The thighs are shot in. And there it is.
Come closer.
Sticking to my arm. That's where I got the shot. And here's the magnet on the arm I didn't get the shot. You go figure it out. We're chips. We're all fucked.
Flip it. Kind of looks weird. It almost wants to stick.
Yeah,
it's on the bottom side. It pushes, but then when you get a little higher, it'll
It wants to stay.
Oh my goodness! I can't pull that off there, Spencer. Then we can't take too much truth here today. Anyway, magnet sticking to your arm. Come on in, Myra.
Morning, Saints. How are ya? I want to read Job 38, 13. It reads that it may take hold of the ends of the earth, that the wicked be shaken out of it. I believe the Lord is doing all these to show us how bad it is, and God will be glorified, and I don't think God is done with America. There's a big revival coming up. Thank you.
Bless you, Myra. Hey, we win in the end. Just joking. We win in the end. Come on in, Craig.
Well, just to add along what Silver was saying is it's not only a declaration of war, it's understanding who your enemy is.
Yes,
so this isn't left, right, liberal, conservative. This is good and this is evil. And people don't connect the dots to that. They don't understand this is spiritual being manifest in the everyday human physical realm that we live.
Amen. So let me ask you this, folks. Why is the Lord drawing you to this show? Some of you go around and you try to get other people to watch it. They don't want to watch it. They're not going to watch it. But yet you go to bed at night and you set your alarm because you want to get up. You don't want to miss what's going on in this huddle, in this queue. What is that? Do you remember when I talked about Ezekiel, about the mark of Ezekiel being put on your forehead? Do you guys realize some of you, most of you, in my opinion, been marked? Do you understand that? Have you sat down and thought, why does this stuff motivate my life and nobody else cares? It's because you've been marked. Now, here's the scary part. What are you going to do with that mark? Why has the Lord marked you? Why has the Lord put this? I don't want to use the word unrest because I have great peace. I can't tell you the peace that I have. Great peace, yet I have unrest. Does anybody know what? Hey, Brett, it's like before a football game. Folks, I don't know if you've ever been in a locker room before a football game, but you look in that locker room and guys are sitting around there. And you know what they're all doing? They're going back and forth and their feet are bouncing up and down. Huh? Why? Oh, they got an anticipation. They're not afraid. They don't want to run from the battle. You know what I'm talking about, Brett? You know what I'm talking about, Jeff?
Light them up, coach. Light them up, coach. Blow the whistle. Blow the whistle.
That's some of you right now. That's what some of you are doing. You're running in place. You're tapping your feet. You have peace, but you have an anxiety, a good anxiety. What is it that you would have us to do, Lord? I think all of us, need to get alone with the Lord and take that question to him. Lord, what is it that you would have me to do? What is it you would have me to do?
Amen.
Stand.
Occupy. Right? Hey, Coach, there's so many great leaders in the locker room right now. Betty Perkins, Reggie, Chad, Clay, Randy, Silver. We have years and years of preparing for this moment. And now it's time.
It's coming, baby. Silver, come on in, then Rochelle. Thanks, Brett. Your hand's up, Silver. I don't know if you want it in or not. Rochelle, come on in.
Good morning, team. I just wanted to share that if you go online and look for the 2021 open letter from retired generals and admirals, there's three pages of retired generals and high ranking military people saying that all Americans, especially the middle class, need to be responsible to take action. And it goes through a list of things that are the top issues real quick would be our open borders, China, the flow of information, or non-flow of information, the nuclear Iran deal, the Keystone Pipeline, the U.S. military as political pawns, the rule of law, totally gone, mental and physical condition of our commander-in-chief. It goes on, but it's basically a call to action.
Amen. So listen, folks, if you can. New Orleans, June 6th through the 9th. The Ohio Huddle Annual is going to be put on the shelf. We are going to gather in New Orleans. Folks, I'm telling you, there are going to be people going to come from all over America. It's going to be more just than Coach Dave Huddle. It's going to be more than us. There are going to be people come from all over America. It'll be a moment that you're going to be, just like I showed you all those videos, you're going to be able to look back and say, I was there. I was there. I was there. Sometimes all you have to do, show up. God bless you. See you tomorrow.